This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, this is Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business, and the song that you are listening to is called Circles by Danny Kumari. It was released last year and it did pretty well in the local music scene. This version, however, was recorded live at Merdekaria. Merdekaria is a cozy live music space in Bukit Gasing that's made a name for itself in the local music scene. A lot of local musicians, independent or otherwise, were able to get a taste of performing live on a regular basis at Merdekaria. And it gave customers a way to sample a piece of new music from the grassroots in this really relaxed, chill environment. In the 7 years that it has been around, Merdekaria has been through plenty of ups and downs, but it has also gained a loyal following in the process. As much as it has kept its grounded, niche, rustic atmosphere, it has also grown as a brand to represent the sort of passion-driven, musically inclined, human-centric, egalitarian platform of sorts. And in a country like ours, you don't find a lot of those, for various reasons. I got in touch with Brian Gomez, who runs Merdekaria with his wife, Melanie Delican, to talk about the gig space that could and how it's doing in 2020. Brian, thanks so much for joining us today, man.
Thank you for having me.
This was supposed to be a very different interview when we scheduled it. And now we're going through like another CMCO, unfortunately. I hate to start on a negative note, but just walk us through the effects of these MCOs and CMCOs on a business like Merdekaria.
Okay. See, the thing is, we are primarily a live music venue. Mm-hmm. And live music isn't a socially distant event. It's not a socially distant thing that you know, people don't go to a live music gig to be restrained, mm-hmm. to be disciplined. You know, they go there to let loose. So that's, I think, the challenge that we're facing is that should we actually try to reopen as a live music venue, or do we concentrate our resources elsewhere? The good thing about, well, if there's a good thing, if there's a silver lining, is that there's a lot of innovation that these MCOs and these CMCOs have bred. What we've done is we've really improved on the menu. We've established new partnerships with more home-based businesses, mm-hmm. To be our suppliers, which is really cool. And people are responding to that. You know, people a lot of people are like the new food that we have. They like the new drinks that we have, because Merdekaria is pretty much an upstairs and downstairs. Downstairs is like a tiny little car park, actually, mm-hmm. Which we converted into a little diner bar, which we now converted into sort of like a non-halal dining space. And that's become really popular. Mm-hmm. So, which probably wouldn't have happened without the MCO, without the CMCO as well. So we've got a lot of new things that we were able to, well, mostly forced to try because we needed to survive. So that's the positive part. But you know, our bread and butter, our reason for being, is the live music, and that's a bit trickier.
What is your like thought process like when thinking about the live music? Like you said, you were trying to decide if you should open as a live music space again. What are you going through in your mind? Like, what's the criteria for you to decide for or against it?
Well, we will touch wood, reopen the live music eventually, but mm-hmm. it's just when. You see, the thing is, you know, they call this COVID-19 the great equalizer. that's really not the case. You know? You'll find that the atas bars, the atas live music bars, will probably be better off simply because, you know, well, rich people want to be socially distant anyway. whether there's an MCO or not. But, you know, places like us, ours, well, it's going to be a little trickier because people will come back. People will come back to support. That's for sure. We have a great support system. You know, we've been playing grassroots music, live grassroots music for 7 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's a very niche crowd. It's not a generic bar. When this first happened, I think sometime around July or so, we looked at our bank account and we said, we're not going to make it. We need to do something. And so we asked for help. We did a fundraiser, and the response to that was really, really, really great. People, you know, who've been to the bar, even like if they've been to the bar like once in the last 7 years, they really came out to support us. And so we raised enough funds to survive for, well, not so much to survive, but to repurpose some areas of the bar. Like what I said earlier, we have a non-halal bar, and then we have a tiny little balcony upstairs. We converted that into another bar as well. And what we did was we did another sort of like a mini fundraiser where many of the musicians played solo for us for a month. During the first 2 or 3 weeks, the support was great because people, they wanted to come out and support the live music. But what I suspect is that they come out, they support us, they listen to the show, but I think they realize that it's not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. There is a kind of restrained response to everything. There's people unsure how to behave, which is understandable. And that really isn't what a live music gig is. It really isn't what you go out to a live music gig for. So it's something that we have to consider. Do we really try and concentrate our resources elsewhere and survive until such time where people can come out to a live music gig and really come out for a live music gig, you know? So those are the things that we're thinking about. These are the pros and cons that we're grappling with.
Yeah. But, you know, all that being said, Madhukarya has been through a lot over the years. And the brand, like you mentioned, really is tough as nails. Is this another bump in the road, or just another bump in the road, or do you think it's the biggest bump in the road?
Well, I think the biggest bump was actually getting started, to be honest, because, what we like to say is, and it's the truth, to be honest, is that the good thing about what we're going through now is that we've never really been profitable anyway. in the 7 years, it's true. I mean, we've never really been profitable for 7 years. So there's always like pumping money from the day jobs and from external events and things like that to sustain ourselves. You know, local music, local grassroots music is a very, very niche thing. Most people, if you want to go out for a live music gig, they will go to somewhere where they're already familiar with the music.
You
can't blame people because, you know, you've had a hard week at work, you want to go out, you want to sing along to things that you know, and have a drink. Whereas for the grassroots music, you need to be in a more active state of mind because you've never heard these songs before and you need to actually sit up and listen. So it's always been tough. Having said that, August of last year was, I think, the first time where we actually made a profit, a significant profit. And every month since then, we made, well, not much, but at least we made a profit. And so that was something really positive, and that was something really encouraging for us to, you know, continue building. But, you know, then this happened.
Yeah.
Signs were positive that you know, we were heading in the right direction, that we were building something that could be sustainable. So I think those days hopefully will come back, but we just have to wait till when.
So you mentioned profits, and then it is very interesting that you mentioned the timeline as well. So last August, right? I want to ask, what keeps you going? Because for some people, business is purely bread and butter. That's all it is. But Medicaria is obviously it's a passion project for you guys. Is that the drive? Like, what keeps you going with the brand year after year?
Well, it depends on the days. You know? So some days you think that no, we've just dug a hole so deep that we need to keep going. But to be honest, I think it's the knowledge that the music is really, really good. And if people could just hear what we hear and see what we see every day, we're confident that this is something that, you know, that people will habitually go out and respond to. And come out and listen to grassroots music, because there really is no difference, I think, quality-wise between what you would hear at Merdekaria and what you would hear if you went to a music festival with international artists from anywhere in the world. I think the challenge is getting people familiar with the music. That's really what keeps us going, because, every month or so, a new band will come up and you hear a new band playing in your stage and you think, that's really, really great music. That's it's a great song, or it's a great set, even for an open mic. People talk about supporting the grassroots music scene, but what I feel is that it's the opposite. It's that grassroots music could actually support you as a listener, because just say, you know, you spent 3 years waiting for your favorite band from the US or UK to come forth to Malaysia, and then you realize they go to Singapore and then bypass you and go to Thailand.
Which always happens.
Which always happens, yeah, yeah. and you know, if you're that person who's listening to these international hits, the thing is, if you made, if you were familiar with the bands that play in Merdekaria, if you were familiar with their music, that band that you spend 3 years waiting for could be playing every 2 weeks or every month just down the road from you, you know. And that's what I mean, that it's not so much, I really dislike the word support local music or support grassroots music, because I think the music can actually support you if you allow it to. That is something that we're building on. And that is really something that we, during this MCO and CMCO period that we're working on, which is to market the music. During the MCO, we actually called all the bands into Merdekaria and we recorded their live sets. And we've now got like a whole bank of audio and video. Hopefully by doubling up on promoting the music itself rather than the bar, we can get a lot more people to come in and really just enjoy yourself with grassroots music.
We're going to pause for a quick break, but stick around. We'll be back with more from Brian and Merdekaria in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Beats, funk, mixtapes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and I'm in the middle of a conversation with one half of the duo that runs Merdekaria in Bukit Gasing, Brian Gomez. Oh, and the song that you're listening to is called Topsy Turvy by Kristen Long, which was recorded live at Merdekaria. What do you think keeps people coming back to to Madikarya, because there have been other joints in the same space, and unfortunately many of them have closed shop, they have not survived. What keeps the support for Madikarya going? Like, is it you guys? Is it the place? Is it the brand? What do you think?
It's hard to say. A lot of people have a loyalty to the music itself, to the bands themselves. So you will have days when a certain band is more popular, and those nights will pack the crowd. But it's also, I think, our resilience over the years, where we've just kept to it. When you know, during the early years, people would come and they would want to listen to a cover song, and they'll be like, you know, the reason I come here is because I want to listen to a song written by the person who's performing it. You know, they want to listen to original music. So I think our resilience in just existing, and word of mouth that goes around that, hey, there's this place that where you can go to and listen to original music. You know, being one of the very, very few places that actually plays Malaysian music in Malaysia, you know, makes us different. And I think people respond to that. But it's also, I think, what we try to do with the bar itself. I think we try to support other local grassroots endeavors. You know, that's another thing that we do, where you've got certain things in the bar where you can't really get anywhere else, and you know, hopefully it's just the vibe that we have as well. It's a very comfortable place for people, regardless of race, religion, gender, sexuality. We really are that kind of bar, and hopefully that resonates with people as well.
Yeah. So you've been on the station a few times. You've spoken about starting Madikarya. So the background is that you saw a space for rent, you took it, you winged it. That's the key word. You winged it, and Madikarya was born, right? Did you ever sort of approach it in a way, like thinking about gaps in the market, positioning in the live music space, the business-driven reasons for Madikarya to exist? Was that ever the approach, or did you approach it like, I want to follow this because it's my passion first, and then I'm going to think about how the place is going to make money in the long run?
I think we thought that it would sort of, well, not so much immediately, but very quickly become sustainable. We knew that there was, you know, general apathy among the people about the grassroots music scene, or grassroots music in general. But I think what we did was we sort of overestimated our ability to overcome that. The thinking, I think, at the time was, you know, let's just do this. It's actually a really nice space, and it, you know, it would. And we just put the deposit down, and we said, you know, let's just do this. We didn't really know what shape or form it would take at the time. It might actually have been sort of like a record store, bookstore kind of thing, which it was at the beginning. We very quickly realized that this is going to be a really, really tough sell, because this is not something that has been done in this shape or form before. It's not something that anyone is used to, and it's not something that there is no real demand for it. So we're going to have to create demand, and that was what we set out to do in the early days. Yeah.
Do you have a benchmark for Madikarya, though, like a specific point that you'd want to get to? Because the place has changed so much over the years, right? Like, you mentioned that first it was a record store, then you were selling books, it was a cafe, now it's a bar, it's a live space, you renovated in between. So what is the ultimate goal for Madikarya, or is there such a thing in the first place?
I think we are actually very close to where we want to be. In terms of what the space is, in terms of what the bar is. The good thing about all of the failures that we went through over the last 7 years is that you actually learn from it, and you can see how people respond to the music. You can see all these little things that you need to do in order to get people to be, you know, more receptive to the music. So 7 years, I think we pretty much, well, as of, I think, August last year, we were pretty much where we needed to be because it was sustainable for the venue, I think, and the musicians got paid 50% of the door charge. So depending on the crowd night, it was sustainable for the musicians as well. Mm-hmm. So I think we're sort of like on the final stages of what I think Merdekaria should be, what we think we should be. But having said that, yes, when the MCO happened, then we had to rethink things. And so now I think the F&B side of it is growing significantly more than what it used to. Hopefully, when we fully reopen, I think it's going to be a lot more than what it used to be even last year because we've stepped up our F&B game. Mm-hmm. And we'll be a live, you know, grassroots music bar as well. So hopefully, you know, by the end of this, you know, when things get back to normal or the new normal, we will be where I think we need to be.
So now that you've been doing this for about 7 years, is there anything business-wise that you would do differently if you could? Like knowing what you know now, with all the knowledge that you have now, would you change anything?
I don't think so. I think every tough year, every year without profit has driven innovation for us. Mm-hmm. When we started, it was just mats on the floor. The stools were egg crates stacked up and tied together.
Mm-hmm. Good acoustics, though.
Yeah, good acoustics. Fire hazard, though. Yeah. But yeah, you know, so we didn't have money when we started. We had like just the bare minimum. So we had like the cheapest possible plastic stools, and then people sat on them and then they broke 1 month later, and then we bought the second cheapest plastic stools, and then 3 months later those broke, and you know, we spent so much money just buying things that didn't work, building things that didn't work. But everything that didn't work, you learn from. Mm-hmm. You learn what was needed, and you know, simple things like there are like bar stools, swivel bar stools, that so that people can have a conversation and then swivel towards the band. Just the kind of food that we serve, the kind of drinks that we serve. We had no clue. We had no F&B expertise or experience before Merdekaria, but I think we do really, really well now on that aspect. So everything, all the mistakes that we made were actually just learning curves. We wouldn't know what we know now without having made those mistakes. So no, I wouldn't change a thing. I don't think we would.
Mm-hmm. Last question, Brian. So what is next for Merdekaria? Because you mentioned that, you know, you are almost at that point that you've wanted the brand to be. Is there a chance for like a second Merdekaria? What's the plan moving forward?
I don't think so. I don't think we should be sort of like a generic franchise type thing. I think you know, creating demand for grassroots music within Merdekaria has been challenging enough. Mm-hmm. So you know, just being where we are, keeping this venue sustainable for us, for the musicians as well, you know, if we can attain that and just keep that going, I think that is the goal for us. I mean, we've never been business people. We you know, this is it for us. I mean, to be able to go to a bar that you own and see a band that's just coming up and see people responding to music that those musicians have written, that'll do it for us. You know, that's the goal. And like I said, I think we're very near that goal. And hopefully, you know, these things aren't derailed over the next, I don't know, couple of months or year.
Brian, thanks so much for your time, man.
Thank you, Arvind. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Me from feeling come out.
That was Brian Gomez from Merdekaria talking about the business aspects and the passion aspects, the music and the food aspects of their joint in Bukit Gasing. You can stream this podcast again on the BFM website, which is bfm.my. You can also find it on the BFM app, which you can get for free on the Apple App Store on Google Play. And we're also on Spotify. We are parked under the podcast section, so stream us there. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.